Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we're so glad you could join us. But before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for giving us the opportunity and the ability to come before you, Lord, and actually love us fully, Lord. And Lord, I also just thank you for giving us the plan, Lord, and showing us how to walk in it, Lord, so that we can succeed inside of you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Glad that you are joining us here as we get into the Word and continue our study in the book of Ephesians. So this morning, we are in chapter 5 and are covering verses 8 through 14. So could I get a volunteer to read that section of Scripture, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
Amen. So, as is our custom, we're going to open the floor and give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and ask any questions you have. So who would like to begin?
I will.
Okay, LaCharles.
Well, we see inside of verse 8 that Paul begins by saying that we were once darkness, but now we're children of light, and as such, we should walk inside of it. And this really continues what Paul's been saying and what he started inside of chapter 4 about being children of God and actually walking inside that function in that role. And you see here that he's saying that we're no longer supposed to just understand that on the inside, but our outward actions show that nothing at all has changed, or that we live the exact same way, but we should be demonstrating the progress we are making inside of Christ. We see in the life of Paul inside of Acts, we don't see him murdering people even after he was saved. We don't see him going along in the same actions he was before. There was a marked difference in his actions and his behavior once he accepted Christ, and the same should be true in our own lives. It shouldn't be somebody has to get a magnifying glass to try to see the minute differences that we do, or to see the little ways that we're not as bad as we used to be, but it should be clear evidence for all to see. And we see that even in the inside of the Gospels, we see Jesus, he says, go and sin no more. He doesn't say, go and sin some less. That's not what he said. Mm-hmm. He said, don't do it at all. Mm-hmm. And while the Lord understands that we are never going to be perfect, we shouldn't be allowing that excuse to fly and using it to console ourselves if we do something wrong purposefully, because mm-hmm. that's not what the Lord means.
Right.
And we also see inside of verse 9, he begins talking about how we actually walk in it, the fruits of it, of us walking as children of light. And he's pointing out to, he started by saying that these are all the things that the world does. There are all these various things that you guys should no longer be doing, but now he's actually giving us what we should be doing correctly. And that's something Jesus also did multiple times in the Gospels. He didn't just say, don't do this anymore, but he gave them some actions to go and do. Like we see that with the demoniac over in the Gadarenes, I believe. Mm. And he said, go and spread the word in the towns around here. He didn't just say, go and be free and let him go, but he gave him some actions on how to walk that out, how to continue and make the difference known. And when we have the perspective of, okay, once we stop doing the actions, we should be doing the actions that are correct. Mommy and Dad, you constantly tell us that it's one thing not doing the wrong actions, but it's another thing doing the correct actions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. That was beautifully stated.
And sometimes it can seem complicated to us. However, our desire and our heart and our goal should be to sin no more. Amen. Not making justifications for the reasons why we continue to sin. Because you may be able to fool a human. You may be able to guilt trip them to not say anything about the wrong that you're doing to them or the sin or the wickedness that you're doing, but you can never fool God. And he's never going to acquiesce to sin and go, well, it's okay. I'll allow it because it's you. That's not who our God is. And he understands that we are walking towards perfection, right? But he does intend that we move quickly towards it. And for the case of the demoniac, everyone had seen the vastness of the evil that was coming out of him, and they had, the majority of the village had been affected by it in some regard. So the Lord saying go so they can see you was not so that the people could validate who he was, but so that they could honor God and go, wow, we remember how wicked he was. And now we see that he's in his right mind. We remember the terror that was coming out of this person. We couldn't even walk past him. But now look, he's clothed and in his right mind. Look, he's talking about the wonderful things that God has done. So keeping clear for us the why we are doing certain things, or the why God asked for that action to take place, is important so that we can feel confident as we obey God and let the Holy Spirit lead us. I love that you brought up that the Lord gave, as he would always do, honored the teaching that he taught about once the devil is driven out and the house is swept and put in order, it has to be filled with the Lord. Otherwise, the demons will come back and find, hey, it's a nice comfy spot to move back in. It'll be seven times worse. So it's not just a matter of getting rid of the bad and just trying to remain neutral. That is an invalid response to the deliverance that the Lord provides. But filling up with the Holy Spirit and filling up yourself with the good that God is asking you to do, verse 8 or verse 9, all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and letting that be your pursuit. And then finishing whatever it is that God called us to do. And this does kind of blend with the previous episode where you left us off in 1 Peter chapter 2, mm-hmm. honey. But if we go down just a few more verses, it says, Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Amen.
Amen. So as Paul is telling them, there's a clear difference between who you were and who you are now, and darkness and light, and children of disobedience and children of obedience, who you have now become. Fully engage and step into, walk in the new life that's been created in you in Jesus Christ, and fulfill the purpose that he delivered you to fulfill. He delivered you for a reason. Walk in that. Go ahead, Layla.
Something that the Lord had shown me, Mama, you were touching on it in verse 10, where it said finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And as you mentioned, the Charles, that's action that you do. It isn't, well, Lord, because you didn't come down from heaven, who will descend from heaven or who will ascend and tell us and give us the words of life? It's not an excuse of, well, because Jesus didn't come back again, then it's his fault that I'm sinning still, or that I don't know what the will of God is. No. If you don't know what the will of God is, that's one, because you didn't want to find out, and two, because you didn't care to either, and you chose not to. Just like what happens here in the house, you and Dad set ground rules. There are instructions that are given, things like an example, how we conduct ourselves, how we do chores. And if we don't do that, that's because we want to be disciplined. That's because we want to receive the consequences of being disobedient. That's because we didn't love you enough to do what you were asking us to do. And that's the same thing with the Lord. It really is a reflection of our level and our love for him when we choose not to do what he says, when we look boldly at his word and we look at him in his face and go, no, God, sorry, not today. I'm going to do this instead. And as you mentioned, quite often, Mommy, you'll just forgive me later. That's what the world does, if they even acknowledge God to begin with. Mm-hmm. But we should not be, that's not what should be said about us. When people look at me, they shouldn't go, oh, yeah, Layla's going to sin. And then she just go, oh, God, you'll forgive me later. No, they should see the Lord when they look at me or you or us. They should see the reflection of Jesus Christ, because that's what our ministry is. We're drawing them unto Jesus Christ. As you mentioned in the last episode, it's not to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because if the flaws were you made a copy of the flaws, the whole paper would be bled over with red ink, because there's so much to correct. So we find out what's acceptable to the Lord. We spend time in his word. Dad, why are you smiling like that?
Just the way you described, when I've corrected some of these English or grammar papers, these essays, and, you know, I've made the proclamation they're killing my pen because it's just red ink everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is accurate.
Well, it happens, you know, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see it happen, but when we don't adhere to the guidance, the instruction, wisdom, knowledge, we don't get that understanding from those things and then apply it. Well, what do we expect?
Red inky papers?
Well, in the form of an essay, right? But what about as it pertains to our life?
The consequences of sin?
Yes. Now, what's he talking about here? Right? It's telling them, exhorting them to walk as children of the light, right?
Yes.
And then he says what in verse 9? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then the verse that it was brought up, right? Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is found where? Galatians 5:22, right?
Yes.
Which says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But then wait, he doesn't stop there. He continues, Paul does, as the Lord speaks through him to write Galatians. He says, he then continues and says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh along with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So in verse 10, you were talking about action. What does it look like? And what are the things we can do? Well, I'll say submit this, Galatians 5:22-26, as the basic, the infantile level of walking in the Lord, of being children of light, or walking as children of light.
Yes, Dan.
Which says what? Yep. These are the things, the fruit of the Spirit. This is what should be seen and observed in your life. Then action, right? What's verse 10?
Yes.
Crucify the flesh. Crucify your passions and your desires, fleshly passions and desires, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So you have to be led by the Spirit, which denotes relationship and knowing Holy Spirit's voice. Leading, guiding, prompting in your life. And then also there's the guarding and governing of our heart, right? Not becoming conceited, not provoking one another or envying one another. Mm-hmm. This is being written to other believers, other Christians, not the world. I mean, it's also being written for the world. But Paul is addressing other believers and Jews, those who would call on Messiah, who've been taught about the Lord and Savior. This is who he's writing to and saying, this is what it looks like when our heart, at the basic level, this is what it looks like when our heart is actually toward the Lord. And then grow deeper in all of these things.
Yes, Dan?
So
yes.
I felt led to bring that up because a lot of times we put this off as this great and lofty thing when if we notice through, I'd say Man, if I would put a figure on it, probably about 90% of Paul's writing, he's saying, hey, he repeats this in seemingly every book to every group and every person and place that he's writing to and saying, this is the basic thing. Walk this way. Right? He said it, yes. We just read it in Galatians. This is in Ephesians to a whole nother group of people in order to bring about divine order, put everybody into alignment with the Lord at the most basic level. Not having the body being disjointed.
Yes.
Now putting everybody into alignment. Like barely, minimally above the threshold, above the standard. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So let's understand that. Or even with going back to the papers, which made me chuckle, right? Because you noticed the difference, but just the way you phrased it. We weren't expecting, if you will, I don't want to say miracles, right? But we weren't expecting a thesis. What we were teaching each of you was the basic aspects of writing.
Yes, Dan.
Right? How to, yes, also be a good writer. How to convey your thought and articulate it in such a way where everyone can understand. Right? But it was the basic elements of writing before expounding or teaching you how to expound and go deeper and become an even better writer still.
Yes, Dan?
Well, Dad, as you were saying that we, inside of verse 10, that we have to go past the basic things, the Lord is also reminding me of how while the basics are good, we still have to grow fully in Him. And we can't just stay on the basic level for majority of our life. It has to be proportional with how much time we're spending in Him. And we see inside of Luke, inside the Gospels, where Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and how they had the basics, but they weren't growing in Him because they didn't want to. And flipping back to Ephesians, it talks about how when the Lord exposes something, we should be correcting it. And going back to what you had said, Charles, that's not just to do the basic and say, I'm not going to do those sins anymore. But more importantly, listening to the Holy Spirit and that as you brought up with the fruits of the Spirit, actually having them exposed inside of our life. It shouldn't be we look at almost exactly like darkness, but we claim we're Christians. Because we know that's not going to have any fruit.
Well, it'll have fruit, but not the kind that you're you're hoping and expecting. It's not Christ-like fruit. It would be rotted. Evil, wicked fruit, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It then taking that step forward with the basics. Well, and you read inside of the Gospels how it says don't murder. But then Jesus said, if you think that you hate your brother, that's murder. The same applies to us. We should be correcting our mindset as well. And not only our actions. Because once we correct our mindset, the actions will change as a result.
Amen.
As you were talking about that promise, the Lord was just reminding me of a good way to think about it. We see inside of verse 8 that we're walking as children of light. And the Lord reminded me that He's not calling us to walk on a treadmill, going around on the same thing without actually moving forward. We're just doing the same steps over and over. And that's something that Paul's talking about here inside of verse 10 as well. He's saying, go and find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Of course, we know the overall general, what the Lord wants from us. But then there's the deeper aspect, what's His perfect will? Mommy, you talked about this in the last episode about how we're supposed to be okay being different, but how when we're following the Lord, there's some similarities between us. The basics are, or the core, are still the same. And we see that here is that those core and those basics are the same, but then the Lord starts to point out unique things that He wants us to do. For example, Paul had to go out into the wilderness, but Peter didn't, meaning that he had to go and be taught again. But we saw that was inside the Lord's perfect will for Paul. It wasn't a sin that Peter did not go into the wilderness for 14 years to learn from the Lord. It was only if Paul didn't do that, it would have been wrong for him. And overall, that's how we should be living our lives, not just basing it off, okay, Billy Bob did this, so, okay, I'm going to do that as well because that looks good. And that's something that we also have to be very conscious of inside of our own lives. Jesus wasn't doing everything he saw Moses doing. He wasn't saying, I'm going to be the next Moses or Elijah. He wasn't just doing those actions, but he was doing what the Father asked him to do. And that's how he was able to be the spotless lamb, not because he was being anybody else. Or doing the walking on the treadmill, but because he was walking forward into what the Lord had for him to do in each and every step.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, let's pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Charles.
Lord, we just thank you for the guidance that you give us, Lord. We just thank you that you lead us into the correct course of action, Lord, for every situation, Lord. And Lord, we also just thank you that you are always there and present, Lord, to guide us into all truth, Lord, and to show us things to come. And Lord, we just thank you that we can walk forward in your power, Lord, and what you have for us, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the victory right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In
Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Oh, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about a day of prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So until next time, take care and God bless you.